Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Let's pray. Let's get started. Father God, we love you so much. God, we want to honor you with your word tonight, God. Father, that you speak to us. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open, God, ready to receive whatever it is that you have for us this evening. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. So, they asked me what the title of my message was. And I'm not what you call super creative. So the first time they asked me, I said, can I call it Matthew 7? They're like, what? I'm like, most of my verses, they're Matthew 7. They're like, no. The media department, so they named it something like rule of thumb because one of the verses says that. So the title in my heart is Matthew 7. For the rest of you guys, you can put down that cool rule of thumb. But I was just, you know, you kind of reading through the Bible, and there's chapters of the Bible that just like there is so much goodness in this one chapter. There is so much that we can gain literally from this chapter of the Bible. One, I was just reading through it, and I just thought, this is amazing that all this is right here in one chapter of the Bible. So I want to encourage you guys, we're going to read it. We're going to go through some of the verses. I'll mainly be in New Living Translation, the message. But when you go home, read it for yourself. And let God make it personal in your heart. Because there is so much good stuff in here. But let's start out Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is a standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Which that imagery has always gotten me. Could you imagine? I couldn't imagine having a speck in my eye, but an entire log in my eye. Like I can't, what a huge emphasis saying, listen, there's something large in your life. Don't worry about this little thing in somebody else's life. And it says, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. And I think about this, I think sometimes it's good natured. We're not trying to pick out what's wrong in somebody's life. Genuinely, sometimes we want to help, but it's difficult for people to hear us when they can literally see what's going on the outside of our lives. When they can see what's happening, they can see what the Bible refers to as this log in your eye. This huge log that you really can't see even that well around, but you're noticing this tiny little thing in somebody else's life. And I think as Christians, man, that's what happens sometimes. People can sometimes see the way we live, but we want to point out this thing in their life, but we have to get past it. And I love because God says, listen, then you will see enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Get the log out of your eye first. What are you dealing with? What is that thing that's visible probably to everybody else, but maybe yourself? And normally you can just ask a couple friends. They'll let you know what the log in your eyes is. But you got to be willing to ask. Most of us don't want to ask. We'd rather walk around with this huge log in our eye. I wish people really had to walk around the log. I mean, it'd just be awesome. Be like, yeah, you would want to get rid of that because it's huge and other people could see it and it's uncomfortable to carry. But if the reality is that we had to carry that, I would literally be, Charlie, what is this log? What is this thing in front of me that I got to get rid of it? Why? Part of it is I want to help others. B, I want to represent Christ everywhere I go. And I don't want to be walking around with a huge log in my eye. I want to be able to see people. I want to be able to see them clearly how God sees them. I want to be able to help people. There's something in their eye. I want to be able to help them to get that out of their eye. I want to see what's in their life and be able to help them with what's going on in their life. And so often God's just saying, listen, there's something in your life. Get it out. And then you'll be able to help your neighbor get the speck out of your eye. Here's what it says in the message. And the message sometimes is just so good. It says, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Because reality is like, I don't want that treatment. I don't want you to criticize me. I don't want you to jump all over my faults. I don't want you to pick on me. But it's literally the word is saying, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. And I think we're good at this when our kids are little. You know, treat others the way you want to be treated. It doesn't change when we grow up. It isn't any different. This isn't something we grow out of. It's not like now I'm not 8 or now I'm not 10. I'm not on the playground. It's not as big a deal. But no, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal how you treat people. It speaks wonders of who you are, the way you treat people. When you treat people with love and honor, it gives you a voice in their lives. So many of us, there's people in our lives that we want to tell them about Christ, but the way we treat them doesn't allow us to do that because they can't hear us by the way we treat them. I want to encourage you guys today, evaluate how am I treating people? Am I treating people the way I'd want them to treat me? Am I speaking to people the way I'd want them to speak to me? That's crazy. Think about that. I mean, is that really who I am? That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly snare on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly snare off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. I just love the way the Message puts that. Man, let's take care of what's going on in our life so that just maybe God can use us to help clean up somebody else's life. But so often we have that log, we have that snare, we have that thing going on in us. And I just want to encourage you guys today that I think God wants to use us. God wants to work through us, but it does matter how we treat people. It does matter how we speak to people. It does matter how we love people. Why? Because God is love. That's what separates us from every other religion, is that we had a God that loved us so much that he gave his only son on our behalf. That love is what sets us apart. That love is what's going to open up people's hearts. If you're wondering, how do I reach this person? It's going to be with love. And the way somebody knows you love them is the way you treat them. If I don't treat my wife very well, she will not know that I love her. It doesn't matter that every time I hang up the phone, I say, I love you. I do. It's like, it's a habit now. I actually say it to the wrong people sometimes. I love you. Wait. Sorry, heart. I'll talk to you later, buddy. Bye. It just becomes, you're just saying all the time, but am I treating her in a way that she knows that I love her? Am I treating the people that I want to reach in a way that they know that I love them? It is such a big deal. And I want to encourage you not to realize this isn't something you grow out of. Treating others the way you treating others the way you want to be treated isn't something we grow up out of. It isn't something that we quit. You know, it's like, oh no, I'm good now. I can treat people how I want. I've reached a certain age. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. We don't. And another thing I wrote down here in my notes, I wrote, don't treat people how they deserve to be treated. Don't treat people how they deserve to be treated. Treat people how you want to be treated. That's what the Word of God says. Too often, we're people that treat people the way they deserve to be treated. You didn't hear how they talked to me. That has no bearing on what God's Word says, how they talked to you and how they treated you. All God's Word said is treat people how you want to be treated. That's all that we have to live by. Not by what they deserve. I love Pastor Bill, I think it was a couple years ago, said, and he continues to say it. He says, we honor people because we're honorable, not because they honor us. That's who we are. We honor people because we're honorable. It has nothing to do with how they respond or what they say or how they act. And I think it's the same way in how we treat people. We don't treat people the way they deserve to be treated. We treat people how we want to be treated. Man, we want to be valued. We want to be spoken well of. We want to be encouragers. And that's how we have to do. That's what we have to do to others. We have to treat others the way we want to be treated. Verse 6 in the New Living says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and they will turn and attack you. Verse 7 through 11, the Message says, don't bargain with God, but be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks, do you give him a live snake? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think God, who conceived you in love, will be even better? And it's that whole verse. I mean, you guys have heard it in the New King James, the New Living Translation. It's like, your kid asks you for something, you're going to give it to him. This is the verse that says, ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking. I think sometimes we give up. But if we know that our God is a loving God, just like when our kid asks us for something, we're not going to give him something horribly worse. And the Word says, if you wouldn't do that, why would you expect that of God? Why would you expect that God would do that? Man, if we ask God for bread, I love how the Message, we're not giving him sawdust. He's not, as a parent, I'm not going to do that to my kid. Why would God do anything different? God who loves us. God who we said earlier, gave his only son for us. Keep asking. Keep knocking. He loves you. He loves you. I used to say that at every junior high service, I would always say, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. Because I just thought, I want them to know that. I want every kid who walks in to know that God loves them and God has a plan for your life. But I'm sitting in here and it's the same thing for everybody in this room. I want everybody in this room to know that God loves them and God has a plan for their life. We haven't messed it up. We haven't gotten too off track. We haven't messed up too many times. We haven't gotten too old. We haven't. God loves us and he has a plan for us. Keep asking. Keep knocking. He loves you. He loves you. Don't give up. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season you will reap a harvest. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Don't get tired of doing that right thing, because in due season, the problem is we want it in our season. That's Galatians 6:9. The problem is that we want it to be in our season, not due season, because due season, I might have to wait longer than I wanted to wait. And it's just so hard, but I'm telling you, the Bible promises that if we don't grow weary in doing good, that we will reap a harvest. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Keep making those right decisions. Keep praying, keep seeking God. Don't stop. I think it's so often we get tripped up and we just kind of quit. It didn't work. Man, it didn't work how I saw it working. It didn't happen as fast as I thought it would happen. It happens so often and people give up. God loves you. God loves you. It's going to work out. Verse 12, in the New Living Translation, it labels it the golden rule. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. This is the essence of all of everything that is taught in the Law of the Prophets. In all of it, you break it down. Here's what it is. Do to others whatever you'd like them to do to you. Isn't it crazy? The only time I see that kind of talk is when he talks about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. It says everything, all the Law and the Prophets hangs on these two things. So the only other time I see it in God's word, it says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. Break everything down. Here's what it breaks down to. How are you treating people? How are you treating people? It matters. The way we treat people matters. That's our open opportunity in their lives to tell them about how much God loves them. But if they can't see it in us, it's going to be hard for them to listen. If they can't see it in our actions, it's going to be difficult for them to receive it from us. And we're God's messengers. We're God's messengers. We're the ones who have said, yes, I'm in. I'm willing. Send me. The message breaks that verse down as, here's a simple rule of thumb. There you go, rule of thumb. It's there. See, it's not Matthew 7. Here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. I'm gonna read that again. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Grab the initiative and do it for them. What have you been waiting? I think some of my people are like, man, I want friends. Be friendly. Man, I want people to be encouraging and speak well of me. Be encouraging and speak well of others. I think it's so difficult because we get so caught up with what we want, what we want, what we want, and God's just encouraging us to look to others. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Treat others the way you want to be treated. We haven't grown out of this. We are not too old for this. The message then ends by saying, add up God's law and the prophets, and this is what you get. This is what you get. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and go do it for them. Go do it for them. What would bless you? Bless someone else that way. What would help you? Help somebody else that way. I'm telling you, there's something so amazing about helping people. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like getting a phone call and being able to pray with somebody and help somebody and actually feel like, oh my gosh, I helped them. Man, I helped them. I gave them an encouraging word. I told them God loved them. Man, I prayed with them and a healing happened in their body. I prayed with them and financial breakthrough happened in their life. It's so amazing. And what it does is it gets our eyes off ourselves. It truly does. It opens us up. The world is watching. The world wants to know how Christians are going to treat them. The world wants to know how Christians are going to speak to them. It matters. It really matters. We have to treat others the way we want to be treated. It's so crazy. I mean, and you see it with kids so much. If you have kids, you have to have patience. And I have four, so I have more patience than everybody, unless the Florences are in here, the Roses. You get a lot of patience having a lot of kids because each one is so different. You can't discipline them the same. I mean, everyone is so different and receives so differently. They are not the same. But I got to still treat them. I got to show them love. I got to let them know that their dad loves them. And I could say, well, my dad didn't show me. My dad wasn't there at my wrestling match or soccer games. Why should I need to be there? No, no, no. I'm treating them how I want to be treated. I'd want somebody there cheering me on. I'd want somebody at my practices. I'd want somebody making sure I go to church. I'd want somebody. So you got to get rid of those excuses of how you were treated. Because you're treating them now how you want to be treated. You're treating them, and as a parent, that's such a big deal. And then with our spouses. Man, it gets so easy because our spouse is the person we talk to and we spend the most time with. So it becomes so easy to become flippant with our spouses, to become, she's good. She knows I love her. You know, she knows I'm going to take care of her. But that has to be the person we treat the best. Because at the end of the day, the world is also looking at our marriages. The world is also looking at our kids. They want to see, does anything work? Is there anything that works? Man, can it work? If God's involved, man, can my marriage actually work? If God's involved, can my kids actually get on track? The world is watching. They want to know, does this work? And I'm telling you, it does. And when you include God in the process, it is so amazing. I've said so many times, I don't know how somebody raises kids and doesn't love God. You have to be spirit-led. I mean, sometimes it takes God to stop you. You know, it's like, oh, go to your room for a sec. We're going to talk in a minute, but I need you to get out of my eyesight for just 1 second. I can regain my thoughts. And that's the Spirit of God rising up. And I'm like, what do those parents who don't have God do? We don't want to talk about that. Let's not go into detail about that. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. And I hope God's speaking to you. I hope there's people in your mind right now that you're thinking how I've been treating them and I need to change the way I treat them. I hope it's bosses. I hope it's unsaved friends. I hope it's coworkers, it's spouses, it's your kids. I really want you to really look inside and think, how have I treated people? How am I treating people? How do I speak to people? Do I genuinely treat people the way that I want to be treated? If you're the boss in the room, how do you handle people that are underneath you? Is that how you would want to be treated when you had a boss over you? I mean, there's so many ways to look at it. And I'm telling you, it's godly. Why? Because we get to show God's love in every avenue of our life. Verses 13 and 14 in the Message. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life to God is vigorous and it requires total attention. The way to God requires total attention. There's no shortcut way. There's no easy way to God. It literally takes all of who you are. We literally, when we come into covenant with God, we give him everything. There's not another way to do it. There's not another shortcut to it. If there was, I'm telling you, I'd be up here being like, here's the shortcut to God. There's not. It takes total attention. It takes you completely saying, God, I surrender my entire life to you. God, every part of who I am is yours. It's not mine anymore. It's not about me anymore. It's truly about you. It truly is. And that, I love that verse because it's just like there's no shortcut. It requires total attention. And the way you treat people will require total attention. The way you handle people will require, that has to be on the forefront of your mind. It's too easy to keep acting the way you've been acting. It's too easy to keep treating people the way you've been treating them. You got to think, can I minister to this person the way that I treat them? If you can't minister to them the way you treat them, you got to start treating them a different way. You're not treating them the right way. I mean, there's people that's like, man, I don't want them to know I'm a Christian. We're not in the right place. You haven't been handling yourself the right way if you don't want people to know that you're a Christian. Man, you got to treat people the way that you know, man, I could tell them about God and they'd be so open to it because I've showed them his love. Without even actually having to say it, they've seen his love by the way that I've treated them, by the way that I've acted around them, by the way I've honored them, even when they haven't been honorable to me. I'm telling you, that cuts with God. When someone mistreats you, that's why the Bible says love your enemies. When someone mistreats you and they treat you wrongly and you show them love, there's nothing like it in the world because nobody else is doing that. Everybody else responds in anger. Everybody else has a cutting message back. Everybody else acts like that. But when God has truly transformed your life and you've given him total attention, you can treat them in an honorable way. You can treat them in a way they don't deserve, but they get it. And I'm telling you, that begins to crack the hardness of their hearts so they can eventually receive God's word. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. I'm gonna show that again. You can identify them by their fruit, that is by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Everybody say, whoa. It doesn't say by your heart. You can identify people by their actions. We all want to be identified by our intentions. I want to be identified by what's in my heart. But the Bible says you're identified by your actions. That's how people are going to identify you, by what you actually do. Man, you may have had a parent or a coach, they overpromised and underproduced. That creates a stigma in that relationship. Man, dad, you said you're going to come through and you never came through. That creates something in your heart. Why? Because we identify people by their actions. By how you've treated them, by how you've been treated. This is huge for Christians. If we're going to honor God and if we're going to live as Christians, which is little Christ on this earth, how we treat people matters. Our actions matter. People will identify us by our actions. Did our actions show love? Did our actions show anger? Did our actions show hate? Did our actions show that we just don't care? Or did our actions show that we love them? Because people will identify us by our actions. It'd be easier to say they'll identify you by your intentions, or they'll identify you by if you have a good heart. He's got a good heart. He probably didn't mean it. People don't care about your heart when you mistreat them. They really don't. All they know is they've been mistreated. All they know is what you said wasn't very nice. I know I'm short, but you didn't have to say it like that. I mean, it hits you. You hold on to it, even 20 years later. All right, verse 15 in the Message. Be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're up to rip you off or some way or other. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. That's what I love about Pastor Bill and always will. He is who he is. There's no hiding anything with Pastor Bill. Man, he's going to tell you God's promise, whether you're sitting on a couch out front or you're sitting on this pulpit. He's always, there's character behind who he is. And it says, who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. If I'm up here just saying things, but I'm treating you in a wrong way, it doesn't matter what I'm saying. It doesn't matter because I've never taken time to talk to you, or I've mistreated you, or I've been mean, or I've been rude, or I've been whatever to you. It wouldn't matter what I'm saying. I mean, it doesn't matter if you'd never seen me, but we were in the hallway and I'm just mean to you. It's going to be hard for you to listen to what I say, because it literally says the main thing is not what they say. It's who they are. It's about character. It's about character. That's how people look at us. And if it was another way, I would tell you, but that's how the world works. They're looking at our actions. They're looking at how we treat them. They're looking to see if there truly is love in this world. They're looking to see if there's truly someone who can show them God's love even when they're unlovely. That's what God did for us. In our sin, in our mistakes, somebody shared a message, we read something, and God showed his love to us when we weren't lovely. When we'd made a lot of mistakes, when we'd messed up more than we'd like to admit, God showed us his love. That's what we have to do for others. Man, when they're messed up and they're down and they're out and everyone's given up on them and everyone's mean to them and everyone's rude to them, will we show love? How will we treat them? That's what it's about. It's about our actions. It's about our character. It's about who we really are. How do we really genuinely treat people? You can identify people by their fruit, and that's the way they act. The way they act. There's no other way around it. How have you treated me? Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to go to verse 24. We'll end with this. I'm going to read it out of the Message, verse 24 and 25. It says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter. So the other option is if you don't work these words into your life, you're like a dumb carpenter. So I'm just saying, let's be smart carpenters. I'm not a carpenter, but I can imagine. You are like a smart carpenter who built this house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock because we heard the word, we read the word, we listened to the word, and we did it. And we did it. And we actually walked it out. We learned about treating people right, and we started treating people right. We learned about speaking God's promise, we started speaking God's promise. We learned about taking care of others, we started taking care of others. It's that simple. Verse 26 and 27, but if you just use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter. That's a little more intense than I said. You're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. You have two options. You're either building your house like a smart carpenter or you're building your house like a, and they both heard the word. The only difference is one added it to his life. One started living it and the other didn't. You being in the room is amazing, and I love it. But if you're just listening, it will not help you. You have to actually walk out of here and go live it. You actually have to walk out of here and honor your spouse and honor your kids and honor your coworkers and honor your boss. You have to walk out of here and live it. It's the only way that it works. It isn't enough to take notes. It isn't enough to underline the verses as I share them up here. That's not enough. You have to leave here, and you have to treat people better. You have to treat people that they see you, and they feel like they've sensed something of God. That they've sensed his love, they've been around him, that they understand God better because they spent time with someone who actually cared about them, someone who would actually listen to them and not just shrug them off. That's the difference between us and the rest of the world, is love. How we treat people, how we honor people. Let's be smart carpenters. Let's build our house on the rock. Let's build our house in such a way that it doesn't matter what storm hits us, we're never going to fall. Because the other option is you build your house on a sandy beach, and the first storm that comes, you know what? I'm out. It didn't work. Because you just heard it and you didn't live it. Because you just heard it and you didn't walk it out. In the New Living Translation, it literally says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Who listens and follows. And in verse 26, but anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish. Anyone who hears it and does it is wise. Anybody who doesn't obey it is foolish. You've heard something tonight. And you get to go back to your daily life as soon as you leave here. Whether that's go home to your spouse and your kids, or going home to the person you love, or going home alone, whatever it is, and you get up and you go to work tomorrow, and something's going to happen. Somebody's going to interact with you, and you have a choice. Am I going to honor them, or am I going to treat them the way they treated me? Because if we have a world that just treats people the way they treat them, we're not going to get this gospel out. But if we have a world where we treat others the way we want to be treated, I'm telling you, this message will not be contained. This message will not be stopped. Why? Because they'll sense the love of God in us. They'll see the love of God in us. Why? Because they identify with our actions, not our heart, not our intentions, not what we hope they see. They identify us by our actions, what we actually do. So will you go out this week and will you show God's love? Will we continue to do it the way we've been doing it? I want to encourage you guys tonight. Let's treat others. Let's let people see a visible difference in our lives. Not because I say so, but because God's word says so. Because all the law and prophets hang on this. Everything breaks down to this. Let's treat others right. Let's take care of people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.